Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You are listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Live. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Live. And as always on Tuesday, we have Barat Muhammad, our noble and honorable brother, the greatest promoter of all times.
Of all times.
And the In the Ring, we're going to call this show. So Tuesdays every day, mark it on your calendar, In the Ring. Next voice you hear will be the voice of Brother Murad Muhammad, the greatest promoter of all times. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience.
As-salam alaykum. We say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name for giving us a mercy in Muhammad the Prophet. May the peace and blessing be upon the Prophet and his descendants and his companion, the noble Prophet, that we salute him with the excellent salute. May the peace and blessings of Allah be with him. Brothers and sisters, it gives me great privilege, and I am highly honored once again to have this opportunity to be able to share things with you that is very, very simple, not difficult at all. So we ask Allah to govern my tongue and see if, in fact, that I can give you the words of God. Because when you walk with God in everything you do, it is written that it will be successful. Yes, it will be successful. But you have to have the faith. You can't just do anything in this world and not have the Lord of all the worlds that created the world to not to be with you. I don't care what it is. If it's wrong, you're by yourself. If it's right, you must have faith in God. And so, therefore, there are some things that people misconstrue for whatever reason. They take upon themselves, and they believe when they read words, it becomes physical to them. But God gives you a picture. We talk about many times of giving charity, and we talk about money. But most people do not have money. You have poor people out there, so how do they give charity? The same way God gives you charity. Your mother gives you charity. And these are one of the things that we like to speak about, because charity starts in the womb. It becomes a clot of blood, a semen that is transparent. And most people think that is not a human. But if you take a microscope and look at it, it looks like a little worm. Just think about it. That's you. That's I. That's every human being. And in that womb, God gives you charity because he, the Lord of all the worlds, molded and shaped you in that womb. And you become the be developed, and once you are developed, who feeds you? Your mother does. If she doesn't eat, you can't live. That's charity. If she doesn't breathe, you can't live. That's charity. In the womb of your mother, you and I had to depend on our mother in order for us to go through those 9 months to come out that womb. And then the neighbor cord is cut. Then God gives you more charity. But when God gives you something, you have to give it back. How do you give it back that God gives you? It's only a loan. We have a debt that every individual owes to God. And you must pay that debt up on the day of judgment. the preachers, the rabbis, the imams don't teach you that you and I owe God a debt. Let's talk about this debt that we owe God. God gives us air to breathe, but you must give it back. You take in the air and hold your breath. If you don't give it back, you will die. So you have to give it back. God allows the earth to bring up your food, your vegetables, your fruit that you eat. And once you eat it, you got to give it back. You can't contain all that food and not let it out. If so, then it can make you ill, or you can become obesity and you will die. So you have to give it back. These are the simple things that we owe a debt to God because we didn't create ourselves. So in our nature is telling us that what you are giving that's good, you should give it back. So if you receive finance and you are capable to give back and you don't, then that's a sin. You have to give back. Well, not just money. Let's put money aside. What about a smile? Didn't God teach you how to smile? Your mother didn't teach you. How did you learn how to smile? How did you learn how to grab a hold of someone and give them your feelings? Just think about it. Your hearing doesn't run through your body. You hear by your ears. You see, but it doesn't run through your body. You see by your eyes. But feeling runs through your body. Feeling is something that God gives every human being, and that human being must give it back. While you can feel for your brother, he could be in Istanbul, but you got feelings for him. Your husband does not have to wake up in the bed with you. He could be out on a journey. You have feelings. Look how far do feelings stretch. So you must feel for that which you love. That's a gift. God gave you that gift. In order for you to appreciate the gift, you have to give it back. When you look at the dollar bill, and we think it's just accidental that some mind put that pyramid on your dollar bill. But on that dollar bill, it represents that up on the top of the dollar bill is very thin. So some people are raised by God to see better than those down at the bottom. But the bottom is wide, so that I represent those who can see. But it's a sin that you take it all for yourself, and you don't need all of that, and you won't give it back. You take a little bit, God is saying, and give the rest to the people down there that doesn't have it. Well, the same way with knowledge. You can't come into the knowledge and understand the will of God, being obedient to God, and have upright standards and don't give it back. You can't talk about religion and what is good for the masses of the people and you talk behind the wall or on the phone to a certain people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his earth is spacious. Is a masjid. Let's go back during Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. When he came into revelation, there was no walls. There was no ceiling. There's nothing containing his knowledge and his worship. For God said his whole earth is a masjid. But we have felt victim in everyday society that tells us that wall that you call a masjid or a center, or that church that you refer to as a church, is the that can contain the manifestation in the will of God. It cannot. You can't contain God in a building. So why are you in a building thinking that's all you are for? is to get up on Fridays and speak, sometimes on Saturday or Sunday. This is not what God wanted for his human being. So he says to his last messenger of God, the prophet, the seal of the prophets, read. Read, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. But Muhammad is saying to God, through Angel Jabir, I don't have a piece of paper to read, Lord. But he's not asking him to read a piece of paper that man put on a paper in his words. Those ain't the words Allah is asking the seal of the prophet to read. Why would he need us when he can send a man to tell him that? But he sent his angel that does nothing but the will of God. So what did he ask him to read? Read my creation, Muhammad. Read the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the heavens that I create, and everything between it. Read into yourself. Whoa. When that happened, society began to grow. So what is Allah saying? I'm not just talking to one man. You're Muhammad. I'm Muhammad. Every human being's nature is Muhammad. So he was talking to us. He used the name Muhammad. Praise worthy, worthy praise. You cannot tell me that you don't want to be praiseworthy and worthy praise. If I say these words to you, you say, how could I sum it up? Muhammad. So Satan made you think it's something way out of the ordinary. Every prophet had to submit the entire being to God to be special. But God is saying they are human beings. They are human beings, so I taught them. So he's talking to a man that was not of this world. He was talking to a man that was not educated in society of religion. He was illiterate. And by him not knowing scripture, well, who is this Muhammad? And Muhammad had to be erased from that surroundings that he grew up with. And God taught him through his nature to abstain from Christianity and Judaism and paganism. But yet it was all around him. He didn't get involved in any of that with no knowledge. So he takes the last seal of the prophets and teach them how to read so society can grow. Yes, Muhammad gave it to society. So he began to read and he began to develop. But God said to him that you have to pray 5 times a day. And if you go way back and you look at religion, Christianity and some of the religions back then, they ate a meal in the morning, in the afternoon, and they ate a meal in the evening, 3 meals a day. They teach us that. But Allah told Muhammad the prophet, pray 5 times a day. And some of the Christians will pray in late noon and the evening. Some of them pray 3 times a day. But 5 times a day came through Muhammad the prophet. The first person ever taught humanity to pray 5 times a day. Today, eating has changed. They found out that you eat in the morning, you eat in the afternoon, and a little snack in between dinner, and a little snack before you go to bed. 5 times today, you find most healthy people eat 5 times a day. In accordance with what? Prayer. 5 times a day in prayer. And so prayer allows you to be conscious of God, because you don't awaken yourself. God awakens you. And so when you awaken, you want to thank God. If you listen carefully, you will hear the birds and the bees and the insects praising God. You will hear that rooster. Yes, he gives out a cry. And you don't have you're not an insect, and you're surely not a bird. You don't know what they're saying. But trust me, they are praising the Lord that created them. They don't get out of their habitat. Religiously, they do what they are created to do. It's we, the human beings, who is the crown of creation, have everything in creation in us, so we have the ability to be anything that was created. So we have a choice. We have a choice to be obedient to God or not be obedient to God. But God says you will not make it in this world. Satan will get you if you don't walk in God's name. So what happened? The Christianity began to come up with various different things that got man off the wrong track. Jesus invited the people to come to the water. And in Christianity, it said, come to the tub. Well, why the tub? Why the water? If you don't come into the knowledge and understand that God is great, then you have a problem. So let's look at what he said to Muhammad the prophet. There's 99 attributes. He said, you don't have to say all of the 99. Let's look at three. Three of the attributes, subhanAllah, giving glory to God, alhamdulillah, praising God, and Allahu Akbar, God is bigger and larger than anything you can ever imagine. But you do it on your fingers. Now you see men brought Christianity into Islam. It's not wrong, which we call haram. It's allowed. But God, Muhammad the prophet, didn't have no bees. Where did these bees come from? The bees came from Christianity and other religions, that they dicker on the bees. That's thinking. Dicker means thinking. Thinking of what? Thinking of God. So every time they move a bee, they're thinking. Allah didn't teach Muhammad to go to something man created. If you know that, you wouldn't use the beads. You would use that which God gave you. What? Your hands. Your fingers is what Muhammad the prophet dictated, because it has meaning to it. But if you don't know the meaning, you'll go get beads. And most of them get beads because why? It's different. It looks like we believe, because we see other people doing it, so we like to do it. But we have no clue that those bees came from another religion, because that's what they thought. They would think of God, and their number is 5. We'll get to that. But Muhammad was taught to dicker with his fingers. And so if you look at your finger, you start from the bottom, and you work your way to the top. 33, 3 times, 99. There go the attributes. But when you say subhanAllah, that's one level. You see that line? Which way is it going? Straight up. What does it mean? Stand upright. You go to the second one, you say subhanAllah. Now you're standing tall, because you can't get up and do anything if you're not upright. Upright in your belief, upright in your standards, upright in your character, upright in your morals. Now, if you never dicker before, just look at your hands. And if you dicker, look at your hands. And you'll see the line go straight up. look carefully. Then you go to the second one, straight up. But when you get to the top, the line changes. It's round. What is God saying? First step, second step, and when you get to Allahu Akbar, you're free. That's what it means, right there on your finger. You're free. So you go to the next one. SubhanAllah. 1, 2, 3. 33 times. And then when you get to the last one, you start from the bottom, but you got to go all the way back to the first one. That means you are a mortal human being, a little infant. That's what the pinky represents. Oh, God is wise that he gives us things right in front of us and we don't understand it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. God is bigger. God is bigger. And you get to the top. Now you're free. You're free how? You're free in spirit. But that ain't all. Just being spiritual does not make it in this world. But you're thinking about God. But what controls that count? That thumb. Oh, the thumb? Well, let's look at the thumb. The thumb moves up and down when you're dickering. Why? Well, back in the day of the gladiators, when a warrior or gladiator, they call him, you're getting ready to slay his opponent, he got to look at Caesar. And Caesar turns to the crowd. And he asks the crowd, live or die? And if the crowd say, die, kill, kill. And Caesar takes that thumb and put it down. That means that that person loses life. Well, God has said that's the decision of your consciousness. Your thumb represents your consciousness. You have to make a conscious decision in life. That's what the thumb does. But the Christians say, one, it takes 5 steps, not 3 steps. Well, they got it pretty much right. Because all to get to the thumb, you got to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they have the understanding. They're much better now in their understanding. But they always go against the grain. And that was Allah has given to the world. Their 5 steps makes them superior over everyone to the point that it was the Christians that felt that a woman had no soul. Oh, they was made woman with flesh but no soul. And Allah came back to correct them that I created you from one soul. Well, if Allah said we was created for one soul, how is it that the female doesn't have a soul? Just these words alone throw the human being off. And when you get thrown off, you get all confused. There's so much confusion that men don't know they are men, women don't know they are women, the priests are closing their churches, the congregation don't know where to go, and they're finding new things in life don't meet the eye as Jesus has died. So Jesus came here, a righteous man, and he was raised by God, raised. But he didn't come out the womb being a prophet of God. Well, a messenger of God, a prophet to us. No, brothers and sisters. So let's look how God says about your feelings. Your feelings run off through as a gift, through your body. Feelings mean something to you. So look at the word feeling. Jesus said, don't touch me, for I may offend you. Mary says, no man has ever touched me. God says you can't touch this unless you're pure. See, what touch is important. Why did Allah use that in the Quran to clear up this understanding that some people are giving you? And you don't understand that touch is a blessing. You can't touch this physically, spiritually, mentally. You have no understanding that God is talking directly to you. Tell them, Muhammad, that you are a mortal human being just like them. So this myth about God gave it to one man. No, he gave it to all the prophets that allowed themselves to be obedient. Letting you know you too can be obedient, and he will give it to you. Give you what? The connection of all these scriptures that you read that you get hung up on. And so, Dikkun Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, is the best thinking, if you understand why you dikkuring and why you are thinking. The Lord of the worlds have taught us. He says that he doesn't count. God doesn't count. Well, why did he say that? Because we count. God don't count his blessings, his creation. He don't give it a thought. He say, be it, it is. We count. So God had to come through man, not a supernatural, not someone that doesn't bleed like you, get sick like you, and make mistakes like you. He sent you one from amongst you, amongst the human beings. And what man wants to do is to keep you away from that which they learn. That's why I say, oh, you of the book. They know this. What I'm saying to you, they already know, but they don't want you to know. Thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, separate his faults from his goodness, and grant him paradise. Yes, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I would not be able to see this if I wasn't clean internally, as well as externally. Oh, did he clean us up? He made us become thinkers. And you got to thank God for Farad. Because Farad was the only foreigner that came in and said, oh, no, you're not going to treat these once so-called American Negroes like they're not human. And he introduced us to Islam. How could you be against a foreigner that chose to come to us? Now, he went to the schools here, same class as the Kennedys, and he saw himself. And when he saw America, he realized that America was doing wrong to us. And because of that, they tried to make us less than human beings. But Farad introduced us to Islam. And he used the phrase black eyed peas. And we literally did not eat those black eyed peas. But he didn't mean the black eyed peas that you put in a pot that's good for you and tastes good to you. If you're not eating it, you should try it. How is it that we some kind of way dismiss what God gives us in the Holy Quran? And man comes up with his own theory what we should not eat. Well, man, if God didn't want you to touch something, he would tell you, like the pork, the pig that was created for medicine. And some diabolical mind dressed it up and gave it to us during slavery. And we grew up eating the pork. Was that a miracle to get us off the pig? Oh, my God, was that a miracle? That had to be the will of God, not just the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because man can say anything. It got to be God's will that we gave up on the pork. But what is black-eyed peas? Black-eyed peas means you got a pea brain. You think small, just like that little bean. And your eye is bloodshed. Yes, it's bloodshed. I said it, bloodshed. You can't see. Think about it's black and white. That's how you see people, black and white. I'm not doing it because he's white. Or I'm not doing it because he's black. You got a pea brain. And his clothes is blackened. As if Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier or Sonny Liston hit you in the eye. But they didn't touch you. But you can't see out of that eye. So Farrar said, black-eyed peas, don't eat black-eyed peas. Meaning, don't swallow that food of knowledge. You have to expand your mind. You're gifted by God. So God had to bring you a man without being educated by this world, or you wouldn't accept him. You'd have said he came from Harvard or Yale, some of the best Ivy League colleges. No, brothers and sisters. He was gifted directly by God. And what he is saying is that he can talk to you if you would start studying and understand why you do what you do. And if you understand it, you will become successful. But the reason you cannot become successful, because you're stuck on words and you can't define the words, that's because you can't produce anything. Muhammad the prophet had nothing. He wasn't wealthy. He had no education. He knew nothing about God, but he had a good nature that God was teaching him through his nature, not through his intellect. So look at us that came out of the first experience under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We didn't know God. How did you know God and you thought Farrar was God? So you didn't know God. You didn't know nothing about religion. How did you know religion? You didn't read the Quran. So you didn't know nothing about religion. Some of us read the Bible, and the Bible didn't make you become independent. What made you independent? You think it was you? Why, brothers and sisters, it was our nature, like Muhammad the prophet, that God guided us. But he took us in different stages. He didn't rush us into this. Oh, 40 years of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, 40 years of his teaching. Wake up, black man. Wake up, you great nation. Conquer that which you will. You can conquer anything if you will wake up. Who will wake up the sleeping lion? All of this gave us something to look at. We didn't know what he was saying, but we was doing it, and boy, was we doing it. Oh, my God, we gave up believing that Jesus was God. Jesus was the Son of God. That was another miracle, a miracle. 400 years they put that in us, and we springboard out of that. Want for your brother that which you want for yourself. Oh, that we have feelings. We hugged our brother on the right side, hugged our brother on the left side. Some of them we kissed on the cheeks. Kissed on the cheek. We loved them so much. And you better not talk about our brother. You couldn't say that one thing about another man. Today you's a chump. You's a coward. You sit around talking about those who are successful. You sit around backbiting your brother. What happened to you? What's wrong with you? When we was coming out of being deaf, dumb, and blind, we had more unity. All our sisters was beautiful. They dressed in a garment that when you could see them coming. They was hooked from head to toe. They were so beautiful, just the way they walked made you want to marry them. And you didn't know what was under that dress. But because of their character, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a gift of what? Pride and dignity and self-respect. All that we respect. Open the door. Make sure the door didn't hit them. Walk on their left side so we can be out in the street in case some water come. You better not touch our woman. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad lift us up and made us know that woman came from the same womb we came from. Mother Earth. And we were created male and female with no knowledge of the Quran. A third grade educator from Augusta, Georgia, Elijah Poole, who changed his name to Elijah Muhammad. Yes, he raised us right in the belly of the whale and taught us to be somebody. Yes, we have to thank God for him and ask Allah to separate his sins from his goodness and grant him paradise. And then out of the six sons, here come one out of his lawn in the womb of Sister Clara Muhammad. How could you forget Sister Clara Muhammad, who stood up against white America when you was too coward to stand up against white America? Nobody teach my children. I will teach my own children. She hold down the fort while her husband went to jail for not going into service and accused him as being a Japanese spy because what he looked like. Yet he was born in Augusta, Georgia from a preacher. But yet they had him in jail for 5 years. He passed that acid test and raised the jail. I don't know how many men was behind that wall, but one came to New Jersey called the Son of Thunder in the same prison of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And my God, did he roar in the state of New Jersey. He put his arms around us and said, treat me as if you're going to meet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but keep your eyes on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, we love Malcolm, but he don't come before Elijah. Oh, we love Farrakhan, but he ain't come before Elijah. Oh, did we not love Jeremiah Muslim Shabbat? But he didn't come before Elijah. Minister James taught us to love Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And even though we had two major cities, had us box in, one called New York, the other one called Philadelphia. But Newark hold their own. If you wanted something done, you come to Newark. Newark feared nobody. Newark stand on his own 2 feet. I remember when Muhammad Ali, we were going to the camp, he used to say, my God, Newark is in the house. I know I'm protected now. That was a good name. When we went to Chicago, they knew we was crack soldiers. They knew that we took care of business. We ain't depend on anyone, nobody. We was a soldier for Muhammad. So you got to thank Minister James. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him paradise. But that was their era. They were sent by the will of God to raise us up. It was during the time of Minister James Shabazz that there's no pork in the school system anymore. We went to jail. Some of the brothers are home today and some died in the prison, establishing this here. So y'all can walk and say, As-salamu alaykum. They would lock us up for anything, charge us with anything. Most of the men went to jail. It was on conspiracy. Never caught them in the bank. Whether they did or they didn't do it, they never got caught doing it. But they built the federal building because they wanted to stop the Muslims in Newark. They didn't build it in New York. They built it right downtown in Newark because we were coming too powerful. Now, we didn't know anything about reading the right side of that Quran. Then you become jealous that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad raised a whole nation of people. And those who didn't come were sympathizers. And yet you're jealous that through his lawn and through Sister Clara's womb came who? Imam Wadiuddin Muhammad. But this didn't just start. Farad told them, name him W.D. Muhammad. In the womb. Then told them, give him the Quran. Let him read the Quran. And that's what he studied at 4 years old. His feet couldn't even touch the ground. He reading the Quran. We didn't read the Quran, brothers and sisters. We didn't start start reading the Quran until 1975. And we didn't get the connection of that Quran until almost 20 years of reading it by ourselves. Then he came back and started giving us the connection of what we would read. And all the brothers that read the Quran, they ain't got that connection. They too think it's physical. So Imam Wadisti Muhammad was a mercy. But who did he send them to? Those who gave their life. You know what we say. Surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah. Your life and death is for who? For God. Did we not give our life for Allah? Why, brother, we would die. We like death greater than living when it came to Islam. So here come our brothers from overseas. What they want to do, take us back to slavery? We paid the price to be a leader. Don't fault me because I study this Quran and I understand that God talks to me directly. It's the only reason why I grow. But it's a problem with those who is still on black eyed peas and stuck on stupid. You cannot get the connection of this Quran and be arrogant. You cannot learn this Quran and can't produce nothing. Nothing, brothers. I ain't talking about a building. There's no building built in the whole state of New Jersey can hold us if we was coming together collectively. I ain't worried about buildings. I sold buildings out all over the country, 22,000 seats. But Allah said, that's not what I created you for, Murad. I didn't put the imam in your life to learn the Quran. Manifest it. Put it to practice. What makes you different? Make things happen. All that which is good. And so everything I touch that I feel in my heart that I can do, I do it with taqwa. If it don't fit my nature, and I don't believe it's pleasing to my Lord, I can't do it. Don't want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of success in unity. So let's look at what God has given to us and that we do these things, but we do not understand it. Five steps the preacher wants us to understand. And by them going against the grain, that God created this female and created this male for us to come together to create women and children in the world. The priest decides that he ain't going to have anything to do with the female. Now he's out of order with his knowledge that he believes it should be five levels. And then what does? He now molests his children. Well, why is this happening? Because he's out of order. And a female should abstain. So abstain for what? Abstain from men. So that's why they can't grow. And that's why people are waking up. Something's wrong with this picture. So let's look at some of the things that Allah asks us to do. Hajj. And we go to Hajj. Hajj was not created for just you, brothers and sisters. Abraham and Ishmael, who built the Kaaba and put that black stone in there, that black stone represents all humanity. That means Hajj is supposed to be for the Latinos. Hajj is supposed to be for the Arabs. Hajj is supposed to be for the Asians, the Russians, and should I go on? Hajj is for the Jews, the Christians, as well as it is for Islam. It's for the Muslims. That's what Hajj is for the Muslim. So man comes in, and he does his own thing. But the clock that man creates runs normal. It goes to the right. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. But when you go to hide, you go opposite. What is God saying that you're going counterclockwise? You're not going with man created, man's material. So God sends you to your left around the Kaaba, not to the right. And you go around there seven times. Seven times. Why seven? But when it's, the egg is in the womb of the female, it spins. Do it spin clockwise or counterclockwise? Counterclockwise. Because that's Allah, not man. He's different from man. And he's showing you, you could take on man's ways and get hung up and forget that God is in charge. So seven times it goes around that Kaaba. You running from mountain to mountain, seven times. You stone that devil, seven times. Isn't that amazing? Everything is seven. You ever look at the rainbow? Well, man can only come up with six colors. But the rainbow got seven. Well, why can't man find that seven? Can't do it. Here we go. Seven. That seven parts of Fatiha. Yes, it's cut up in seven parts. If you read it well, there go that seven again. Allah is consistent in what he does. 7 days. Man count. Monday to Sunday. Seven. There go that seven again. What is Allah saying to you? He is saying, I don't need you, man. You think I got to come through a womb of that which I created to prove to you that I'm Jesus, the son of Allah? No, that's somebody's myth. So we talk about feelings. Jesus says, don't touch me, for I may offend you. It also says in the Bible that Jesus came out the cradle. The cradle, meaning what? He's a baby. Baby in what? Baby in knowledge. And Jesus had to grow. Some people call him a gardener. Some people refer to him as a carpenter. But Jesus had to grow. And if you touch his knowledge in the state that it was in, you're going to be all confused. The knowledge expanded after Jesus. So Jesus saying to you, do not touch me, because I may offend you. And you'll be offended right now. People got you thinking that Jesus is God. And those who don't believe Jesus is God, they believe he's the son of God. Well, how do you reduce God to you and I? We create sons. God is not our son. The Christians, they say that the children should return to the Father. You ever ask the priest, who is the Father? Most of them would tell you, you don't ask those kind of questions. Either they don't know, or they say, you have to have faith. Faith in what? Faith that I come to the knowledge and understand that Jesus could not have died for my sins. How could my mother die for my sins when the Bible says every human being must stand on his own tub, their own bottom? The Quran says every human being owes a debt. So you telling that I owe a debt to God, but Jesus died for my debts? That don't make any common sense. You can't say that to an intelligent person. Yes, a once so-called American Negro that's been in slavery for 400 years, that they don't want us to learn this scripture. So that's mathematically impossible. But who is our father? Adam. I want you to just stop for 1 minute and think how many times you walked in the synagogue or the church or even a masjid, and they taught you about Adam. Today they don't let you talk about your daddy. A football player, basketball player, a great athlete. I just want to say, hi, Mom. Well, what about the daddy? They don't give credit to the father. Very rare. Why? Oh, Willie Lynch told you to get that father out the house. So you don't respect the father. How are you going to respect Adam when you kick the father that right there in front of you? Without him, you wouldn't have that child. But the son, the Bloods and the Crips, asked him. I've seen Jim Brown break down in tears. You know who Jim Brown is? He runs through tackles. He tells the tackle, I'm going to get you. And when he hit him with that upper arm and that knee in their chest, after two or three times, they'd step to the side. That's why Jim got so many touchdowns. He has never got off the ground. He never got hurt. He's human. I know things you don't know. That he was hurt, but he never let the enemy know. When he let the people on his team, he would go into the rehabilitation side 3 o'clock in the morning when most people are asleep. Jim was smart. He was an intelligent man on that field. Got up slow. You thought he was hurt, and here he come again and again and again. Because most of the time he was hurt and had to take time to get up, but that was his thing. Muhammad Ali got hit so hard with shavers, and he danced in the ring like, I'm not hurt, and shook his head, and he was hurt. I know it because he told me, but he faked them out. That's the way men are. It's called the sweet science. It's not brute and force. It's speed and knowledge, the sweet science of boxing. So how is it that you conceive in your mind and will not study your father, Adam? Who is Adam? Where did Adam come from? He was the type for every human being. You hear most intelligent people say, we are the children of Adam. That's all they say. Teach us who Adam is. Well, I want to believe that they're not cold-blooded calculated. They don't know. How are you going to teach something you never studied and never understood? That's the root of who we are. God breathed into Adam some of his spirit. He was a perfect human being. But through Adam came messengers to build what? The Khalifa. Oh, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knew that this is a temporary world, and I had to build through all my prophets. Seven major prophets. Seven heavens that Muhammad had to climb. Here we go again with that seven. Can't you understand if you would just study these things as given to you, you will come into a new understanding. And it wouldn't be so difficult for me to try to teach you, let's come together. Save yourself from the fire in your family. And you thought God meant your little bitty family. I don't care if you got 35 siblings and a mother and a father. I wouldn't care if your father made 100. He's talking about the human family. How are you going to save the human family if you don't come together? That you are thinking like Farad says with a pea brain. That the brother from Egypt is different than we are. The brother from Pakistan is different from we are. The brother from Saudi Arabia is different. The brother from around the world that wasn't brought up in America is different. My God, you think you're different because your skin is lighter than the next one. Or you think you're the black man because your skin is blacker than the light-skinned one. Oh, you all confused. They got us all confused, and we don't understand we're the human family. Well, look what's going on today. That brother that died by a pea-brain individual that didn't have no care of life and shot him and laid him out there in the street, look what he's causing. Isn't it amazing you turn on the TV and you see Adam's children out there campaigning that this got to stop. For the first time, they got a reward for $12,000. Now, I know either one of y'all that listening to me can use $12,000. And if you knew where any one of them were, you would turn them in. Why? Because that's a white woman. That's a white man. And you would turn them in. And rightfully so. For $12,000, you should turn them in. But they got a price to get those white people because they punched the police officer. If you had punched the police officer, they would have shot you in your head. How is it that every day one of us are dying? And ain't just brown and green and any name that you can't relate to. It's Kareem, it's Hassan, it's Akbar, and you go on and on and on. It's dying in the street by a bullet. Whether it's drugs or I don't like the way you talk. But yet, they can come in our neighborhood and kill your son in the name of I am a police officer, and there's no repercussion, you coward. Now, I ain't trying to tell you to turn on the police. That's not what I'm saying. But where I come from, if you pull that gun, any one of them brothers that followed Amr Elijah Muhammad, he's going to beg. He's going to beg for his life. Don't pull the trigger. I'm okay. Just check me out. You'll find out I'm a businessman. And he pulls that trigger, that gun jam. That's a dead officer. I'm sorry, he'll go to jail. He ain't turning no heels because he know that must have been the will of God. But if you come to kill me, you must die. And I didn't do anything wrong. Now, okay, that was back then. But today, we got to go get our children. We have to go get them. I talked to a man today, and he said, well, it's just life. Yeah, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, want for your brother what that you want for yourself. And Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, we are a mirror of one another. But what is Allah saying to us? If you see something wrong, you change it. You change it with your hands. And if you can't change it with your hands, you change it with your tongue. If you can't change it with your tongue, you change it with your heart. You make prayer and ask Allah to show us how we can change this. We have to change it. We are not supposed to sit by and say, let them kill each other. Well, that's what Caucasians are doing. That's what they're saying. Guns are in Walmart where our children go. A little boy just walked around with a gun that he was buying from the store. They killed him. Didn't say drop the gun, none. He was a black man, so he's dead. Then they get this woman, you know he brought the gun in there. Come to find out, he was buying the BB gun. It was just a BB gun. But he's dead. You can't bring him back. Why is these things are happening? Because we got to wake up and realize that no one's going to talk to these children but us. If you say you love them, you got to go and get them. But they ain't coming. You can't just talk. You got to walk the walk. What is you producing? Why should I give drugs up and you laying around waiting for a Social Security check? Why should I not sell these pills and you laying around waiting for a welfare check? What are you going to tell me? What have you done? All this knowledge you got, y'all can't even come together because you jealous. You so big, you want someone to give you a special meeting. Let's have a special meeting. Well, I can understand if Verizon want to have a meeting with AT&T or both of them want to have a meeting with people on that level. But you want a meeting with Verizon? You individual want a meeting with Verizon? Why, hell, you'll never get there. They don't even dignify you. Well, if you understand that, why is a group of Muslims moving the way Muhammad the Prophet told us to move? Here comes you who's failing and want a meeting. Yeah, well, come to the meeting. We'll give you a voice. No, you want a secret meeting. You deserve us to waste our time and worry about your pea brain understanding. Keep doing what you're doing. The people are waking up. They understand. They ain't following that. Their children catching hell. You in leadership, but you ain't doing anything for the babies. We ain't enjoying ourselves on our only two holidays. And we got to go to the same place we've been going for the last 35 years. And it ain't growing. It's depleting. Now, don't common sense say, if you got $1 billion in the bank and you ain't got $300, you spent it, fool. How you going to get it back? And you spent it. How you believe that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is with you and you can't evolve? Allah don't count. He don't give up. You gave up. But you don't want to come together. And this is what Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was trying to tell us, that unity. And he united the entire world. Through Muhammad the Prophet, the world has come together and understand what Islam is all about. When you see the Christians, they got birds. Rightfully so. What are they saying? You think it's just birds that look good? They are saying they free on that fifth level. They're free as a bird. They fly. They just birds. But they put them all around. You can pick up the Bible and see them. Birds, birds. And to you, oh, they look nice. They look good. But they birds. So you want to knock Islam because we got three levels. And we know those three levels represent 33, 99 attributes of God. Stand those three levels make us stand upright. And we are free just like that bird. But we are free with the ability to see what? See God's will. That's why they say you got to go to five levels to be free. That's what Christianity do. You know, we got Muslims calling Christians kafir. And some of the Christians don't like it. But years ago, they used to call us all our names. And they called us worse than that. And we couldn't fight against them because they were strong to call us out our names. So today we call them names. But that's not what Muhammad the Prophet wanted us to be, like those who didn't know. They seem to be able to come into the line of thinking to get better. I believe they are. When I can sit and talk with the Reverend and Perf Amboy, he inspires me. Dr. Howard and Noor, he inspires me. There's men that knows what I'm talking about is to be correct because they read. They study. And they are successful and they got good names because all of our prayers, whoever you may be, if you call on your Lord, he's going to answer you. It says that in our Quran. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that everything that we do is for a reason. You make those five prayers a day, and you dicker for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find out in the Quran, Allah says, I teach you all. Isn't that amazing? He teaches all. Well, you think little you, or 1,500,000,000 Muslims is all he taught. He's teaching all of us. But you ain't going to get it if your heart ain't pure. So Mary says, no man has ever touched me. That's what Mary is saying. But you thought it meant the man enter into the womb. No, sisters and brother. Mary never got out of her good nature. No one ever touched Mary's obedience to God. The Quran tells you, don't touch it. You touch the Quran all the time. You open it up, you read it, but your consciousness can't touch it. Your heart is not touching it. You just read. You know, how do we know that? It's because you're standing still. You should understand that you want to go to your grave not doing nothing. I had a very good friend of mine lost his son. Now, you're talking about a man that would kill a rock. But he broke because that son was just like him. And that son did everything he wanted him to do. Oh, he was a college student. He was top of the line in everything he did. But he left here early at the age of 18. And I got a call 1 o'clock in the morning when he passed away. And I got 8 sons. And I said, I would prefer my son die with a legacy to live to be 200 and ain't did a damn thing. Don't have no legacy. I got a call that a sister, and I don't want to tell you who she is, and she was upset that I mentioned the hair of the female and how God says that you're supposed to cover your hair. Now, why this come to my mind, and they said this about 3 weeks ago, I don't listen to critics because everybody has something critic to say until you check that individual and find out they ain't produce anything. But it's okay. Nobody kicks a dead horse. But just recently, a woman in Dubai was covered from head to toe. Oh, she got so much clothes on, she wobbled. And they had her on camera, and she wobbled into the bathroom and took a knife out and killed this school teacher. Stabbed her so much with blood all over the place and wobbled out. When they found her, they kicked her door in. She had no clothes on. They grabbed her and threw her on the floor, handcuffed her, and took her out with no clothes on. And that's what headpieces does. Headpiece don't say who you are. God ain't telling you to cover your head to prove you're a Muslim. If you're not a Muslim in your heart, don't clothing means nothing. You want to see the will of God? Go over there in the Asian world. They will bow to you. They will talk very soft and humble. Oh, my God, their character is unbelievable. They got a Muslim character. Now, they may do things you may not like and I may not like, but you, all of them, have this way of making you feel that they will even bow to you and you don't, they don't even know who you are. That's how they greet each other. Their character is beautiful and they don't wear no headpiece. But you can find a sister with a headpiece, won't even speak, won't say nothing. Everybody hates her on her job. Personality is ugly. Now, if you got a good personality, they supposed to love to see you come. They shouldn't come and feel, oh, my God, look what's coming to work. They pray to you, they hope you will die. You don't think God can see that? I can't see it. You can't see it. But God sees everything. He knows what's in your heart. You can't just give the people any kind of meat. You think because you cheat the people. It talks about the scale, but they thought it was a physical scale. No, the scale of justice in your heart. If you got something for your family and you don't want to share it with other people's family, then that's not justice. Something is wrong with you. And then you wonder why you can't progress, because you curse. The man Wallace D. Muhammad told me that. That's how you tell a man that's cursed. He got nothing. He can talk about what he did yesterday, but today, what is he doing? Nothing. I got a call. They said, Brother Morales, you coming back to boxing. We want you to come back and bing, bing, bing. I said, I enjoy what I'm doing. I have to say I wouldn't come back, but it's got to be my way. But I enjoy what I do. I enjoy to help people become rich with the knowledge that Allah has given me. I found a sister, beautiful, gorgeous sister, own her own restaurant, and I'm trying to tell you, if anyone can own something downtown Newark and got 4 stories going up right across the street from City Hall on Green Street, we should help her become rich, because she's blessed. Ain't no way in the world she's supposed to own that building. They're getting ready to put $1 billion in the street downtown. Anything downtown is going to make money. And our little sister, not no man, a female, has her own restaurant. Now, I gravitate to that because men can have wives that don't want to do, you know, everything you taught them. They don't want to do nothing. They got jobs. They work for people. They can be experts, but they ain't produce nothing for the community. I love community. And if I can help her to advance, I will do that for the sake of Allah. Well, how much you getting paid, Murad? You can't pay me. Your little money can't pay to me. I'm used to being on a multi-million dollar level. Now, if you a millionaire, you got to pay me. You got it. But we shouldn't be jealous. We should support it. Can you imagine there's over 150,000 Muslims in the Essex County. Can you imagine if just one of a family would go down there every day? How wealthy she would be at the end of the year? Now, we do 25 merchants like that. Then when we need someone to build schools, and so we go to the people we made wealthy. Don't that make sense? For some reason, we're not reading this Holy Quran. So I'm going to see if I can leave you all with the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us a social order, and the unity is not just your home. God is talking about the unity means unifying Adam's children, the community. You have to think bigger than that. You cannot say because you lose your child in the streets or they was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, that's a reflection on us. Did you give them something else to do? Well, you're not going to give them a job sweeping the floor, cleaning the toilet. We raised them to be independent. And they're out there with nowhere to go. And so, therefore, they revert to what? Crime. And this is what happened. But we can't just overlook it. It's a sign. They're dying right in front of you. Oh, I never knew my son would die. Oh, I never knew my son would get shot by a bullet. Oh, I never knew my son would be involved in drugs, and et cetera, et cetera. But we have to work on them. We have to do all we can to go and get them. If we don't go get them, brothers and sisters, then Allah will not reward us because you can't turn them around, only Allah. But he will bless you for your good intentions. I tried. I tried to save them. But at least I'll get the reward for trying. Save them is the will of God, but you can't give up on them. I don't give up on anything. It's not my children dying in that street, but it is my children. I feel the pain just like I'm the mother or the father. I feel the same pain because it's feelings. You got to have feelings for each other. And if you don't have feelings for each other, you will never help each other. You shouldn't feel glutted or glad that a Caucasian is being locked up like they locked us up. No, that's a child of Adam. You should have a love for that. And that's why I'm bringing the Christians and the Muslims together for economics. And God willing, hopefully, we can shock this whole country in being able to raise millions together collectively. New Year's is coming in. Oh, I ain't saying go drink, go party, but why not come together on New Year's? And when you come together on New Year's, you're counting 15 million. That's something to celebrate. That's something to bring in the new year of this calendar. We got our own calendar, but we so hung up on our calendar that we don't think about their calendar. Maybe one day they'll understand our calendar if we were socialized with them. We have a big thing at Abu Sunna up there in East Orange, and we got the foreign kids along with our children that's going to be able to play on Christmas Day. I say Christmas Day because everybody knows the 25th is Christmas Day. But our children now got something to do. from 11 o'clock on to about 7, 8, and 9. And they're going to play kickball and everything because the place is large enough for our children to have fun. Some brother jumped up and says, well, you can't give no toys out because we're celebrating Christmas. Oh, we are. You believe in your heart that Allah don't know your heart. We celebrating Christmas. Well, everybody knows that's a Muslim that Jesus wasn't born on the 25th. This is something they created. But because I give my son a toy that understands toys, don't understand anything what you're talking about, but they look across the street and they see all those kids with toys. Do you know I can say to my child, I'm going to give you this toy, son, but this ain't for Christmas. This is because I love you. You heard the song, I saw Daddy, I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. What are they trying to tell you? Who is Santa Claus? Santa Claus is Daddy. That's why she's kissing him. That's who Santa Claus is. And some of us that practice Christmas make our children understand that we're the Santa Claus. Well, we're not giving kids toys for Christmas. We give them toys because you're a child and we want you to have fun on the day that everybody's having fun. And since we got the day off, you're going to have fun. Whoa, them children will grow up and love you because we have neglected them. And because we are neglecting them and we send them overseas and we teach them Arabic and all they know now is Arabic, don't even know their own language, and they come back here, and what did you give them? $250,000 a year to teach Arabic? I don't think so. You give them a masjid so they can raise another 1,000 people that can learn their language? I don't think so. So what do they do when they come back here? They culture shock. I don't believe they want to go back over there because they don't want to eat with their fingers and they don't want to do nothing but pray all day and they can't go out. So they come back here and they skate. They get involved with their former friends and they find out none of that is useless, not here in Newark or Elizabeth or any other part of the way, and they find yourself that Hafiz is in jail. Why? You went against the grain. You went against the grain. Can nobody raise our children but us? And you can make them not of this world. But if you don't get in this Quran and learn the connection of what God is talking about and what God means by the things that he said to us and stop taking it so physical, that you think that you going in ruku position is something new to you. Well, the stars is in ruku. Yes, the moon is in ruku. They have to bow to go around the earth. Everything in heaven bows to the will of God. You think you the only one, man? They've been in ruku positions 3 times. You stand upright, you go down to ruku, then you go down the Sajda prayer. And then you sit on the floor because why? You struck out. God said you struck out 3 times, man. And you stand there and you sit and you say, oh, Allah, pardon me. And forgive me for my sin. No. Allah says, pardon us because you didn't sin by yourself. You begging Allah for forgiveness and don't even know why you're going down in those positions. You struck out, man, 3 times. You think man just came up with the idea in baseball, 3 strikes and you out? Oh, man, I could be here all night just showing you just the little simple things that's used every day. It's Islam. Islam is peace. The Christians say it, peace on earth. There was peace before you, before Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just made it clearer. That's all he did. He just gave it to us, all of Scripture. It's clearer. Remember what Steve Muhammad said, where do you get off and think that Allah didn't have nothing to do with the Torah? Where you get off thinking that Allah had nothing to do with the Bible, the Injil? You can't knock those scriptures. Why, man, those are things that came in the book and to man tampered with it, but it guides you all the way to the Quran. The Quran is just the extension of the Bible, more clearer. But you hear the same stories. How did that happen, man? Man did it. Man taught the world how to say Fatiha in Arabic. Arabia, the God's language, they didn't know how to say that. They were saying it in their nature, but they had no clue how to stand upright. And let me tell you something else. Fatiha, it says Ameen. I hear everybody saying it. But anything other than Fatiha, you don't say Ameen. That's only for Fatiha. Every juice of the Quran is Almighty God. He is our prayers. Have mercy on us. No, you don't say Ameen after the Fatiha. You look in Arabia, and there's a dot, a round dot under the ayat. Like a period that the man used right now. It ends the sentence. That's what it means when you see that zero. You think the Quran made something new? It's been here. Man just couldn't come to the knowledge to understand it. The mountain. The mountain, God says in the Quran, it keeps the earth firm while he created the mountain. I don't care how tall the mountain, it grows nothing. Nothing grows on the mountain. You go down the slope, you don't see nothing growing. And if you go up top, you see ice and snow. What is God saying? I created the mountain as big as it is to look down and see my creation move and develop. So you become like a mountain. Your head is in the sky. The only thing up there is snow and ice. You become Iceberg. I see why that pimp called himself Iceberg Slim. You're an iceberg, brother Rabbi. You're an iceberg, brother Reverend. You're an iceberg, brother Imam. Singular. Singular. Not plural. Because most of us ain't like the mountain. And then Allah says, if I wrote revelation on the mountain, it would crush to sand. Yeah, Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, will crush to sand if revelation was written on the mountain, but it's written on a human being's heart. Oh, man. It was written on the prophet's heart. Yes, this is God talking, not Muhammad. This is Allah talking to you. So you want to stand up like a mountain. You firm. Can't nobody break you. Can't nobody come and tell you anything. You the man. You guard this masjid, and you over top of this church, and it's crushing. Like sand, ain't going nowhere. And you so blind and you so cursed that you came and see it. That's the bad side about it. You came and see it. If I come out and I see 10 people doing the Holy Month of Ramadan in my masjid, if I come out and I see 100 people in my, I say, wait a minute, brother, is something wrong? But you're too arrogant. You don't want to know something is wrong. Then you go and you don't want to buy a place that people can come and park their cars. Oh, man, we sick or we just immature and we don't know what we have. But listen to me carefully. I ain't waiting on you. Watch the will of God. Because I bow my head 5 times, not counting a widow prayer, not counting waking up in the morning, not counting my dickering, not counting, going out and trying to do things right for the community. Not for me, brothers and sisters. I think I reached a level of success unbelievable. I think I have done that beyond my imagination and beyond most people's imagination. But my job is to give it back to those who want it. If you want it, then we'll be successful. Well, I'm bringing in my Christian brothers and sisters. I love them. They love me. They treat me better than some people that say they with me. And we're going to move, inshallah. My goal is to be able to not have a building like the potential building to hold us and for them to join us on our holiday. And we will join them on their holiday. It doesn't mean we believe in the way they believe. They of their religion, we of ours. But they still human. And who say they ain't going to wake up tomorrow? So my beautiful mother, that everyone knows that I love, when I started out, she called it Malcolmism. And why would I leave her to go be with Malcolm? That Malcolmism. And she would call me by the name she gave me. But I love her. I love her now, listen to her now. And she knows that I love her. Took her all around the world with her little bitty self. I always thought my mother was 7 feet tall. She was less than 5 feet. I used to have to sit on the front row because she couldn't look over nobody's head and had her own scoreboard. She loved boxing because she grew up with Ray Robinson and Joe Louis. And that got them out the oppression, watching a black man beat up on white folks. That's the only thing they had back then. The biscuit would shoot our family for jumping over the fence during the 30s trying to get something to eat. Abu Elijah Muhammad said, we don't buy nothing from the disco. We boycotted them for 40 years. That's the Elijah. He knew how to get them back. He was a smart man, gifted by God, changed all of us. And today, we are solid in our understanding. We have a love, a spirit for this religion, but now we have a love and spirit for the next human being. If we do that, Allah will give us plenty. So my mother came to Islam on her own, and she took Shahada, and she died on the deen. May Allah be pleased with her, separate her sins for her goodness. So I know what it is. You don't have to teach on people. You just got to be amongst them. All her children believe that God is one. My sister Zahra is Muslim. Shahid is Muslim. Samad is Muslim. And my sister Joan, Muslim, she just don't know it in her intellectual mind, but she believes in God. So my mother did her job. All her siblings that have grown up and bear witness that God is one. And I think that's a tribute to my mother. And so I love her, and surely I missed her, but I know she ain't dead. I'm talking about her right now. Her legacy will live on. And that's the woman that gave me all that I needed as a foundation in a home. And then I venture out, which you all have to do. You have to venture, and you have to clean up what you see is around us. We can do it, but we cannot do it by ourselves. You get the best of the best. If you got a problem and you need a heart transplant, don't come to me. Let's take you to the finest doctor. If your feet is bothering you, don't come to me. Let's go to a foot doctor. If you got to do your taxes, let's go to a CP. Let him do your taxes. You need a lawyer? Well, there's some great lawyers. Let's go to them and let them handle your case. You need a dentist? You go get a dentist. But if you need a creator that can take that which is insignificant and magnify it to be significant and sell it to the world, yeah, I'll take that because I've done that over and over and over and over again, 1,000 times. ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA. Yes, Time Warners. Yes, I've done that. Well, if I can do it for them, why we can't do it for us? We have to. I can do it for us, but us is difficult. We don't believe it can be done. Or why should Moran have all the knowledge? So I watch people sit there and fail, and I say, "Oh God, if they would just only knew." I thank you, Brother Alfred. I thank you because I didn't ask for this, and you, I think this is our ninth time on the radio, and now I hear you saying that every Tuesday. So, brothers and sisters, there's two things that you have to do. One is he asked for $50 per person. I ain't going to tell you what I've done. It's nobody's business. But $50, you should send that in. Now, I want you to know that Alfie don't ask me for anything. He's smart. Because if you want a man's knowledge, you don't ask him for his money. His knowledge will make money for you. So he's smart in that aspect, and I respect him for that. I'd rather have your Warren Buffett education. How do you create to become a billionaire? He's worth $300 billion or four. I'd rather have a billionaire teach me how to become a billionaire. Not $1 billion. And I like to talk to Sheikh Mohammed. I got pretty close to him in Dubai. He's worth trillions. Let them teach us how to get trillions of dollars. Well, associations bring about assimilation. But we should send money to Alfie because he is struck with one of the most deadly diseases there is, and that's cancer. And I don't care what kind of insurance he has, when it's talking about trying to save yourself, it costs money. So we should send him money. But more important, you ever realize or come to a conclusion how we all on this radio? Remember, he was here 3-4 years before I came. And then now he moves aside and allows me to take over. It sounds like Muhammad the Prophet, prayers of peace be upon him. Muhammad the Prophet would ask his companions, "What do you think?" And they all would say, Rasuli, you're the best knower. But he knew that God told him, I bless who I please, when I please. So Abu Bakr, what do you think? Ali, what do you think? Bilal, what do you think? And those men will give him their advice. So it took a merciful man with understanding that utilized his men around him to uplift this religion and to advocate Islam as being peace. Well, Alfie didn't have to give this to me. I know men that I grew up with that say they love me would never, ever bring me around. Because the old saying is, don't give Murata Mike, he'll take over. Well, I don't take over because I'm handsome, I'm tall, I'm debonair, I'm rich. That's not why. I got something to say. And I got something to say that will enlighten you, because I was gifted with a man that taught me how to go in and see it myself. That's Imam Waterstein Muhammad. That's why I loved him. I loved him because he was not selfish. He didn't have to tell me that. He could have said to me, wait a minute, I'm going to let you know that I'm the only one with this gift. No. He passed away and told me, you don't need me, Murad. You go in there and start reading that Quran for yourself. I believe your heart is pure. Only Allah going to make that judgment. And when he make that judgment, watch you grow. So I said, brother, man, you mean I can learn what you learned? He said, if your heart is right, Allah will give it to you. And my God, Elijah will tell you, because he studies with me. And sometimes we be up day and night trying to learn the tafsir of Imam Waterstein Muhammad. Because he says things to us that no other sheikh talks about. or even give us the credit about seven letters of Fatiha. You don't say Amen after all the surahs, only Fatiha you say it. He tells us what different words actually mean, the connection of the word, why God used blood and semen. It is not the physical, it's the community, the social unity of community grows from an infant to large. How water represents why the fish in the sea, the big fish is in salt water, because salt water is like knowledge. You eat salty food, you put salt on the table. What does that mean? All that means something. Why the fish is happy in there, little fish just jumping. And they is playing, giving credit to God. You don't even know it. You just think, whoa, that looks pretty. Oh, that looks nice. You don't have no clue what God is talking to you about. Nothing. So the man breaks all that down. And it fits my nature because I say, yes, I see all of that. Never had a clue until he showed me, go look at it. Look at Moses. Look at Noah. Look at Jesus. Look at Abraham. Look at Muhammad. Look at all the prophets. They was just like you. They didn't know. They didn't have a clue. But look how God guided them. And because they turned their obedience to God, they became messengers for God. Look at Muhammad. Look where he came from. The most unintelligent people on the face of the planet. They were doing the despicable to it spilled over to the Christians. The Christians began to think that women was even human. All of that had to be cleaned up. So you can do it right now today. Yes, Solomon Gomorrah is right here. So you are Lot, but you don't want to be Lot. Yeah, the flood is here. You don't want to be Noah because you think that's something spectacular. Everything that you heard the saying, history repeats itself, and it's right here. It's right here, the ignorance. God is speaking through the Quran to all of us, and we still stuck on stupid. What more you want? But as I begin this talk, I'll end it with it. You owe a debt to Allah in the day of judgment, the final day, your history, your portfolio will be read. And if it don't outweigh your good, I mean your bad, 51% you are making it. If it does not, you will go to hell and you will pay for it. You should thank God that we are awakened tonight and pray that you wake tomorrow. Because if you ain't in heaven while you live, and your soul tells you, now, I believe I made it. I feel I'm in heaven because I know what I've done, and I know what I would not do, and I know what I'm able to do. So I feel like I'm in heaven. Imam said, if you don't feel like you in heaven today, you in hell. And if you in hell in this world, you will be in hell in the final day of judgment. So you got to feel it in your soul. You got to believe I'm in heaven. Now, if you in heaven, why aren't you sharing it with the next person? That's the point. The reason why you can't grow, because you're not in heaven. Or is you that selfish that you won't give it to your mother or your friend or the children of Adam? No, you ain't selfish. I ain't going to give you that credit. You are in hell, and that's where you will stay, in hell, in this world. You don't know that you're in heaven. Because if you know it, you would give it back. And the reason you ain't giving it back, you haven't come to that knowledge. You didn't reach that third level. Allahu Akbar. God is bigger than everything. That's why our brothers in the Masons didn't get to that level. That's why the priests, they didn't get to that level. That's why the men of the book did not reach that level. You cannot understand this religion and not grow. You can't call yourself a good Christian and you out pimping and riding Bentleys and your flock not even riding Bentleys, don't even ride cars. Who are you fooling? You can't fool the righteous. 200,000 to 300,000 Muslims right here on North Jersey, but you ain't doing nothing. So they go back into their little meetings and said, I hear them, but they ain't got it. Because if they did, they'd be ruling from the government ship on down, because they got the power of the votes. Thank you for listening to me, and if that's it, Brother Alfred.
I think we have a caller. Brother Bob, we have a caller from 479 area code. Caller, you still with us? He had a question, but I guess he's gone. If not, we thank our honorable and noble friend, Brother Murad Muhammad, the greatest promoter for all times. He will return in the ring next week, 7 o'clock. And we thank you so kindly and thank our noble and honorable listening audience. Those who like to support this ministry can send funds. Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Your donations are greatly appreciated. Or you can go to GoFundMe, Alfred Muhammad's Prostate Cancer Fund, and donate. We need $1,300 actually by Wednesday to pay our physician. So as I was stating to the audience, and I appreciate our brother bringing it, this fact to you, insurance companies don't pay for alternative medicine. So we need the money from you. And I'm dependent on you to support us. Thank you. Please be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Till next week, you've listened to Religion Means Alive.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Joe, please be quiet. I'm on the air, man. Sorry, you don't record.